He always does that right on time.
Love Talk Radio. Nice.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Rolex Friday, and we're here in Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, here at Rolex. Happy Rolex Day, everybody, as Reese says. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 29th, 2011, episode 130, sponsored today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, we're back at Rolex. This is so much fun. We had a great time yesterday. We have some fantastic guests joining us this morning, and we're just going to start right out of the box with them. We have a regular that's been with us all the, been with us. She does our cooking tips with us. She got the ride, and from what I hear, they didn't show it to us yesterday. We couldn't watch you. But they a fantastic test ride. We have Reese Coffer-Stanfield with us. You did the dressage test ride yesterday.
I did. It was a lot of fun. I brought my old mare. She was quite spry yesterday, a horse that I competed Grand Prix, and I thought she had a career-ending injury. And she had a baby, and we brought her back, and so it was really special for me to ride Jamaica yesterday.
Well, Samantha told me she saw it, and she said that she did not look like she had any career-ending injury at all.
It was special. It was a good day. It was a lot of fun.
Well, it's cool. It's so neat to see you in person, Reese.
I know. I usually talk to you guys. I'm not going to say I'm in my pajamas, but sometimes maybe so when I'm doing my cooking with Reese segment.
I'm always in my pajamas every show. It's 6 a.m. for me, for God's sake. Who's getting up for that? Well, we also have another guest with us, and I'm going to be cool because, I mean, I might know the guy a little bit from just what he's done and who he is. And we have a very special guest joining us right off the bat on a Friday morning. It's awesome. Please welcome Mr. Jimmy Wofford.
Hey, Jimmy. Welcome to the show. It's so nice of you to get up early and join us. Have you had any of that coffee yet?
I'm caffeinated. I'm ready for the experience.
Okay, good.
Thank you for having me on the show. This is neat.
Well, it is
fun. I like how he calls it an experience.
It is.
We'll see what he's calling it when we're done.
Well, Jimmy, right off the bat, we want to mention your new book, Cross Country with Jimmy Wofford. And, I mean, your other books, like Training the Three-Day Event Horse, is a Bible for eventers. That's how I learned how to get my horse fit for any level horse trial, because in the back it gives you all the kind of ingredients that you need and what you need to do on day one all the way through your competition. And I really feel like that is the one book that really got me centered on eventing and learning how to teach my horse and get them fit for a competition. And you've got a new book out, and this is 26 Lessons to Improve Your Eventing Skills, which, yeah, I could use. Just constant improvement. And from Olympic rider and top coach Jim Wofford. So tell us a little bit about this book.
My new book, I'm really excited about. It's just being released this weekend. No one's seen it until yesterday. I love the cover. I love everything about it. It's a compilation book. These are mostly columns. There's a little bit of new material in here, but they're mostly columns that I have written in the past for Practical Horsemen. And we've gone through there over the past almost 10 years now and picked out 26 columns that we thought condensed things that I believe and things that I teach all of the time. We've reworked them a little bit, modernized some of them, and put them together for you. In addition, and you forgot to mention this.
Hold up.
It is. There's a DVD in the back that shows you some of the training principles that I use. And it's a neat DVD. You see one horse on there that has never jumped a ditch, and by the end of one lesson, he's jumping an enormous ditch really, really confidently.
What about the confidence of the rider? Do you go over that when there are ditches involved?
I don't go over that much because I can usually tell when the rider is backed off. I can tell when the horse is backed off, and there's a very simple answer for that, and it's don't. Don't do that. Come back over here to a smaller ditch. You will see In the book and in the DVD, you will see how I start. And it's so simple, Jamie, I promise even you would jump.
Jamie, I like
me.
You. You're fitting right in here. You can join us anytime in the morning show.
This is what you get for having free coffee around.
Yeah. I'm going to have to read that segment. We'll have to talk after the show because, you know, it's a ditch.
Where's it going to be available, Jimmy? It's called Cross Country with Jim Wofford.
It's going to be available at bookstores starting next week through the AIM network. There is a link to it, which I forgot to memorize. But if you go to Practical Horseman, they will lead you to it. Or if you are on the grounds this weekend, it will only be for sale this weekend at Practical Horseman because their parent company, AIM Media, are the publishers.
And Practical Horseman is set up in a tent right out of Sponsors Row. They're right across from the stadium, the Rolex Stadium.
They are. They're right there on the corner.
Yeah, and you'll be doing some signings, I assume?
I'm going to be doing signings during the lunch break Saturday and Sunday.
Now, I heard about your signature. Are you going to make them legible, or is it just going to be
No,
the
there's
scribble?
An extra charge for legibility. It's free. It's free to just have it signed. But if you want to actually be able to read it, that takes a while. I type notes to myself now on my computer because if I handwrite them, I can't read.
I know, isn't it awful? We never write anymore. It doesn't happen. So let's talk a little bit about the leaderboard and what happened yesterday. Yesterday we had the first half of the dressage went yesterday. I would ask Reese about this, except I saw Reese several times, and she was not watching dressage. She was shopping yesterday.
I was doing a little shopping, yes, yes. But Arthur went right behind me on the test ride, so I wasn't able to see him. But he looked great in the warm-up. I know Jimmy was able to see him yesterday.
Yeah, let me do the leaderboard here quick. In first so far at the end of day one of dressage, we have Allison Springer, who was on the show a couple weeks ago. With Arthur, Allison is one lucky girl recently. We said yesterday she won the Rolex at the competitors' party. She won the Dewberry Booth. She won the that little car worth about $80,000 down at the last event in Florida. She's done all right. She's having a lucky year so far. And she'll say that she's feeling pretty good about that. Mary King is in second place out of Great Britain on King's Temptress. And then Will Coleman. You know, Chris said last night at the Eventing Radio Show that this is Will Coleman's first Rolex. And, you know, Will's been around so much, you would assume he'd been here before.
He's been a while. He is not the luckiest guy in the world because there's always been some little thing that kept him from being here. He's been in the pipeline for it for years, and the stars just have not aligned. He's not the worst. Lynn Szymanski, I tried for 10 years to get her here, and finally, the year she was going to retire, she got Fergus here. And got around and had a big time, but it can happen. And then you see someone find the horse of a lifetime, and they just climb up the ladder, and here they are. And all you can say is that's horses.
Yeah, and that's where Allison's sitting right now with Arthur. What an incredible horse that is! It's truly incredible. So we have Will Coleman, you know, first time here on Twizzle in third at the end of day one of dressage. Let me just run down here. Kim Severson, four, and Boyd Martin sitting in fifth place. I'm looking at other people. Jessica Phoenix is in 14th place on Exploring. She has another ride today with Exponential, so we'll see how she turns out with that. And those are the ones that we've had on the show and been familiar with out of day one. Philip Dutton is currently sitting right now in 11th place. Boyd had we called it Boyd's bobble yesterday, which I would not say to his face, but he forgot a movement in the test, and that cost him some points. And Silva, his wife, was on the eventing show last night, and Boyd apparently was not a happy camper. Silva said, "I just pretty much left. So I was glad I had the show to come do."
That's a really hard test to learn. I have to say, you know, being not an event rider, to being a dressage rider and having some experience after coaching at the WEG, these tests are really hard to memorize, and they don't necessarily flow as well as I would say a dressage test. So I could see very easily how he would make that mistake, for sure.
Well, it seemed like there were a couple mistakes yesterday, and I guess somebody forgot a extended trot. And I mean, it definitely, watching the test, you feel like it's a little bit just not, you're right, not flowy. But to go from what I think is flying lead changes and then to go on a serpentine with a counter canter, how difficult is a movement like that? Jimmy, for a dressage rider, for an event rider?
Well, I can't speak for the dressage rider, but for the event riders, it's tough because these horses are so fit. most of them are so smart, and they want, when they, once they learn a flying change out of a serpentine, they want to show off what they've done. And mm-hmm. if you even breathe hard, they're gone, and they do a change.
Mm-hmm.
And these riders know that. And I think the point that needs making here is that pressure causes mistakes, and there's no more pressure in this arena except the last day, the last 10 at badminton. That's the only other eventing mm-hmm. spectacle in the world where the pressure is as intense as it is here.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of pressure, what happened with Katie and Sir Donovan yesterday?
I did not see it. I had the next horse in the arena, and I had my back to it.
Actually,
I did not see it.
We were in there, and the way it looked to us is the horse kept turning around and biting toward the girth area, and actually bit her leg at one point, and then was rearing and bucking, sort of like there was something wrong in the girth area. So I don't know if there was a tack issue there or it was something internal, but that horse was definitely being bothered by something back there. You could just tell it wasn't your normal I'm carrying on. It was something's bothering me.
Really?
So, yeah, there was something going on.
It could be. I've seen horses get hit by a bee, and it just destroys their test. I mean, they fly buck through the rest of the test. They get stung by a wasp or something, and it's over for you.
Yeah. That happens in cross country too.
It can also, yeah.
And you can get bucked off on your ass, on your butt, in Ohio. I mean, but it didn't happen to me per se. But I might know somebody.
I'm just saying.
Exactly.
I had a my horse was stung by a bee at the Young Rider Championships, and you know it happened right before we went down the test. And we did one time through the whole test, and I didn't even know he knew one time changes. it was an experience for sure. So,
who was it a couple years ago? I want to say it was Missy that had a allergic reaction to something on the girth, like a girth cleaning agent or something, or she had an allergic reaction to a poultice or something too.
No, some shampoo. Yeah.
Some shampoo.
Yes, caused
that's
critical decision to just blow up like a balloon.
What a freak event! Yeah. I mean, and just like you said, that's horses.
Yeah.
Right here at Rolex Kentucky, that can happen. So
now this show is obviously listened to. The one we're doing right now is listened to by all kinds of riders, not just eventers. We talk a lot about dressage, and we talk a lot about Western and all of that, and we're going to have the Rainers down here, and we're praying that Lyle Lovett will come along
Dream
today.
On.
And
Dream on. It's never going to happen.
I'm excited if he comes.
Jamie used to be a DJ in Top 40 Radio there in Atlanta, so she played a lot of Lyle's music, so this would be fun.
Yeah.
But has the level of dressage gotten better in eventing over the years that you've watched, Jimmy?
Oh, phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Except for you, of course.
Because you always were that good.
No. Let's not go there. This is the
most you know, eventers used to be, 20 years ago, the idea was get through dressage, get it over with, and on to the next day. But that's not that way
scoring
anymore.
Changed.
It's not. Well, the format changed, the scoring changed, the nature of the test changed in the early 2000s. They started requiring flying changes, and they went to collection, and that's a whole different ballgame. One of my earliest memories is the 1952 Olympics, and we drove out. This was during the classic format, so we drove out to watch the first American team rider go on steeplechase. And my father, who was coaching the team there in Helsinki, Finland, my mother started to drive away after our rider finished, and he said, "No, wait, I want to see this horse go." And she said, "Well, that's a Finnish horse. Why do you want to watch him?" And I remember Daddy saying, "Well, he won the dressage, and I know I'm not going to see him again, and I thought he was a nice horse, so I want to watch him go here." Because the attitude was in those days, if you were that good in dressage, you had not done the other work that you needed to complete a test of speed and endurance, because
right.
that's what it was then. Now it's a test of three technical phases, and they're of equal importance, and the dressage has improved out of all recognition. These guys sit well now, they ride well, their horses are, so the ones that we'll see today, I think will sparkle. The ones yesterday, the judges were in a bad mood, and the riders were conservative because it was very windy. It was a spooky ring. Arthur spooked several times.
Yeah,
and in
did.
Years past, that has gotten to Allison, and I must say this year it did not get to her, and I liked her ride in there, and I mentioned in my written preview of the course that pair has broken my heart over the past 3 or 4 years, because I thought, this is a super rider and a super horse. Why are they not in the top 3 or 5? And they'd find some way to bleep it up. You know, and so I just, they're going to have to prove to me now, because I'm over this partnership, and I don't care. I don't care if I love them. They've got to get back on the list. You know, on my list, because they found a way. And I thought that was a good sign yesterday, because he wanted to be Arthur at some of the flowers, and things were moving in the breeze, and she kept him coming. And I thought that was a sign of maturity in the ring. So good things, you know, she's well placed. She's got a 5-point lead. You know, in 1952, they figured if they were within 25 points of the lead after dressage, you had a chance.
Oh, my God.
Wow. At winning. Now, I don't mean a chance of placing well. You had a
legitimate
within
25 points.
Wow. Within 25
points. Oh, my gosh.
And now you have to be inside of 5 points. So Arthur's got a 5-point lead right now. I don't think that'll last, but that's what has happened to the dressage,
Jimmy,
over
there's
the
one,
past half century.
One ride yesterday, and the one rider yesterday just always stands out for me, and she should. I mean, she's won this thing 3 times, and that's Kim Severson. She is a fantastic, quiet, just lovely to watch rider.
Super, super rider. People forget that she spent several years with Jack LaGoffe.
Well, that'll do it.
And that and that did it, because Jack, the late Jack LaGoffe, the Hall of Fame U.S. coach, turned out rider after rider after rider. David O'Connor, Kim Severson, the list just goes on and on and on. And when you came out of the LaGoffe system, you could sit and you could ride, and you could do dressage, and you could put a horse on the bit with your legs and your seat, and your hands didn't move. And that, you watch Kim, and she's just floating on a horse that I think is unsuitable for her. I'm sorry, I love him, but he's too big for her. She needs a 16-hand Ferrari, and she's got a 17-hand four-wheel drive Power Wagon.
Wow.
And it just doesn't suit her. You know, she needs something. She's not strong pound for pound the way Karen O'Connor is. When Karen was a young student in my barn, she would arm wrestle the boys for fun. And they learned very quickly not to play. Because she would beat them. If she could catch them, she would out arm wrestle the boys.
Wow.
She's incredibly strong. Mm-hmm. And Kim, not so much.
Right.
Kim, not so much. She's skillful. She may be more skillful, certainly, in the dressage than Karen. But she doesn't have that quality of strength, and so I've always wanted to see her on something a little more suitable. She can't ride a wide range of horses as well as Karen, I think, in my opinion.
Now,
Winsome Adante was at the outer edges of her capabilities, and as he got older and braver and cockier, he was on the knife edge. When she won here in 2004, she was as close to disaster as I've ever seen her, because he just took over.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a coach, do you feel like it's your responsibility, or do you keep your mouth shut when you have things like that you want to tell somebody? Like, hey, this is the wrong horse for you. Or
no, going in, I try and guide them. I say, look, this is the sort of horse, the basic type of horse. Riders at a lower level, if I had a 1-star, a 2-star rider, and they brought a horse like Tipperary Liadnum, and they were Kim size or a little taller, I would say, oh, yeah, you just came off a 15-3 Connemara. I want you to learn how to ride something like this, because mm-hmm. he's a good jumper. I love him. Look at his face. You know, he's oozing with brains. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to learn a ton from him. But you're going to have to expand your range of riding to ride him well. And I want that. And if they've been on a stopper, I want to try and put them on a runaway. And if they've been on a runaway, I'm going to try and put them on a stopper. Because you're trying to expand their range of riding skills and knowledge. But as they start to go 3-star and 4-star, now we need something that suits the rider, because you don't want to have to be busy compensating.
Right. And any little mistake in a course like this is magnified a million times. Now, I don't mean to open up a can of worms here, but here it comes.
But she is.
Here it comes.
Apparently.
Well, just the difference is.
Oh, look at that. She's got an electric can opener. She's not even using the old twist stop.
Well, you've been, you know, writing the classic format your whole life, and now that's not. How much of a difference is it? I mean, you talk about the point spread, 5 points you can make up for that, you know, 25 you could make up for back in when you rode. How much of a difference is that you see that just adds to the little aspects of the three-day event, not being a long format?
Well, you are comparing apples to oranges.
Okay.
Because there is a cardiovascular element to the short format. But there is not the endurance aspect of it. And that was key. For example, this is a four-mile course. It's 3.9999-something miles. It's a four-mile course. Now, it's going to take them 11 minutes and 12 seconds to make the time free of penalty tomorrow. In modern times, I count modern times, classic format modern times, from 1952, because that was the first U.S. civilian team. And I make that point very well in the first chapter of my new book.
Which is Cross Country with Jim Wofford.
Cross Country with Jim Wofford.
Coming out next week. Bookstores everywhere. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. Nice plug. What were we talking about?
The point
you brought his book up and he's gone.
Did you read it? Because you said it was in the first chapter, 1952.
Well, I've got the picture. I've got a picture of a pretty girl on the front, and that's always 1952, the first modern Olympics. During that period, that say 50-year period from 52 till 2004, when the Athens Olympics went to the short format, there were only two maximum of events. According to the rule book, maximum, 1960 in Rome and 1970 in Punchestown. Now, they comprised 30 minutes of trotting on phase a 2 3/4 mile steeplechase, which took you 5 minutes and 30 seconds at 690 meters per minute to avoid penalty.
By the way, for those that can't translate that, you're flying.
Yeah,
you are flying.
Really powerful.
Yeah, that's very fast, right? It's not ultra fast like racehorse, but it's very fast. Now, that was just for openers. You then went out on what we called Phase C, which was the second roads and tracks phase, and that phase was 65 minutes long.
Oh, my God. I'm exhausted listening.
At not a spanking trot, but a good trot.
An hour long?
An hour and 5 minutes long. The maximum, not all
that
events.
That was a freaking endurance event. I mean.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it better myself. They used to call it the speed and endurance test. Then.
And you guys weren't riding Arabs like the endurance riders are doing today.
No.
What comes next would preclude
that. Yeah.
Here you go. Then you had a 10-minute break while the vets checked you over, and you started out on a 5-mile cross-country course on a horse that has been working strenuously now for over an hour and a half, including a 5.5-minute steeplechase. Our steeplechase phase was longer than most preliminary and training level events these days, at almost twice the speed. How has the sport changed? It's no longer a test of endurance.
It's not even the same sport.
It's not the same sport. And so you're comparing apples to oranges. Now, what is it about the new sport? Well, the overall thing is that it's a professional sport. And professionals do what they do, which is they increasingly look for every possible opportunity to improve some tiny little aspect of them, because there are no bad riders here.
Mm-hmm.
Because the insurance industry calls it adverse selection. They've been selected out. The bad riders, they're already gone.
Yeah.
And the horses that are maybe just a little bit counterfeit, they're gone too, because they can't quite climb to the top of the qualification ladder. And so you have people that are spending 24/7 every day of their life, and they are focused on improving their performance. We were talking about the dressage earlier. If you go back and look at the dressage tests from 10 years ago, some of them the same riders. Oh, get over it. They're still bouncing at the trot and their elbows are flopping. Not anymore.
Right.
They sit like kings and queens, right? And these horses move. They do dressage. And the cross country now is a test of agility and of riding accurately at a high rate of speed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a test of endurance.
Right.
The horses that are not prepared well or maybe lack a little quality don't make the time at the upper levels. And that can hurt you. You look at the scores from badminton last week, and I think the top 20 horses were jump penalty free, and the time faults were very, very low. It was a hard course to make the time on. Apparently,
yeah.
It was very twisty. So I don't think anyone made the time.
I was trying to think if anybody made.
Someone got 1.6. They got within 2 seconds
yeah.
of it. But the point is that now these three sports, these three combined sports, are all, they're one-to-one-to-one. You have to win them all.
Yeah.
You know, I've told that joke for years. How do you want to win every event you ever go in? Oh, it's simple. You win the dressage, don't have any time faults or jumping faults on the cross country, and jump clean on Sunday, and I promise you'll win. Well,
but
guess what? That's what Michael Young did here in the World Championships last fall. He won the dressage, and they never knew which way he went.
Right.
Because it's over. If
yeah.
you do that, it's over.
And
now, these guys know that, and they're lying awake at night figuring, I wonder how I could get 3 more points out of my dressage.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know about show jumping, Jimmy, but certainly in the dressage, I've had to change my business as a dressage rider to expand about eventing. And, you know, I'm curious about what they need to do on cross country and what they need to do in show jumping. And it maybe just changes some exercises that we do on the flat. And it's been great for my business to expand to eventers.
I would look at it the other way around, that mm-hmm. the people that are doing the cross country have to pay more attention to the lessons we are learning in our dressage, mm-hmm. which are essentially lessons of flexibility and control.
Right.
We must be able to rapidly, easily, smoothly, non-confrontationally change the length of stride and change the direction.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. And this guy, I predict that the new course designer here, Derek DeGrazia from California, I predict that he will someday eclipse Michael Etherington Smith, who is the avatar of course design.
Wow. Well, you guys, you're listening to a legend. We're lucky enough to sit here with a living legend, Jimmy Wofford. And, Jimmy, this has been an absolute honor to sit here and BS with you for, you know, a good 15, 20 minutes.
Thank you for having me. I love radio because you get to talk. Television is a terribly compressed medium, and in radio you have a chance.
Do these faces look like we should be on television, Jimmy?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
know. 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
I'm going to assume I was one of the two.
I know, me too. I want to be one of the two, please.
Listen, thank you so much for coming by. The book is Cross Country with Jim Wofford. Just Google Jimmy. You'll find all his books there, eventing handbooks there, eventing Bibles.
They're all on Amazon, too.
I don't go to a horse trial without training 3-day event horse and rider. So, you know, we appreciate everything you do for the sport, and thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you got to have him sign the book before he runs off here.
Yeah,
don't forget that. Jeez.
Here we go.
And this half hour is sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Are you struggling to put weight on your horse? Is your horse maxed out on grain but still needs more energy? Are you dealing with muscle and metabolic challenges? If so, try Endure Extra. Endure Extra is a dense source of calories derived from a unique combination of fats. Only 8 ounces a day is needed. Endure Extra contains natural vitamin E, an antioxidant that supports overall health. A rich source of fatty acids, Endure Extra contributes to the maintenance of healthy skin and hair coat, even with daily bathing. Endure Extra also includes a proprietary blend of yeasts that supports normal digestive function. Endure Extra is suitable for horses of all ages. When used in combination with a low-starch diet, Endure Extra offers nutritional support for the equine athlete more prone to muscle stress. And you can find all of their products at kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com. We're here. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek for Jamie Jennings. Jennifer H. is sitting over there trying to reconnect her computer because we have a lousy internet connection here. Just to let you know, Jamie, we have lost the switchboard at this point. So,
as long as we're
still on the air, and our listeners will let us know on Facebook if we're not. So,
yes, they will.
So we appreciate it if you would let us know that we're on and still going here. I think we are. And we're also here with Reese Koffler Stanfield, and you just heard Jimmy Wofford on here as well.
Yeah, and you're hearing Nigel in the speakers right now.
Yes.
Nigel. Yeah, so an amazing experience here. I mean, we're broadcasting from the old indoor arena. Thank you, Jimmy, so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Reese. We appreciate you stopping by.
Now, I had one of those days yesterday, Glenn, that was... Just I checked something off my bucket list yesterday. I haven't even told you anything about this.
Okay. It's a bucket list that I haven't heard about.
A bucket list check off that I did, and it's something that I never thought would happen. That I have had attempts to happen, but it's never actually been done. I'm trying to get to the point of my story. I went to Keeneland yesterday.
Okay. Well, you've done that before, I know.
Yeah, no big deal. Went to Keeneland. I love watching the ponies. I won my first race. I made $11 on a $2 bet, so that was pretty huge.
Well, you are the gambling fool here lately.
Oh, yeah, whopping $2 bet. And then, so the place that I'm staying this weekend is a friend of mine. His name is Jack Brothers, and he owns Hidden Brook. It's a consignment and farm up in Paris. And
when you say consignment and farm,
they sell or take horses for sales. Like, say you want to sell your 2-year-old in training, you call Jack and he acts as your agent for the whole thing. So yesterday we went to Keeneland because Jack had a horse that was racing, and you know, to be at a place where the owner, where your friend has a horse at Keeneland is a phenomenal experience, no matter what you say. And we're there. Well, Jack lets us come into the paddock before the race, and we watch the horses parade around and walk around, and then we watch them talk to the trainer, and they throw the jockey up, and they go through the tunnel, and the horse goes out on the track. This horse won this race by at least 5 lengths. This horse smoked every other horse in the race. And her name is French, but I'll call her Lioness because it's Lione something. This mare was phenomenal, ran the race, and as the race was over, I got to be in the winner's circle photo. Yay! Winner's circle photo! I'd always wanted to be in. I kind of thought it would
you
be my race.
You got in the photo?
Yes! He was like, come down here. Jack and his girlfriend Laura were like, get in the photo. So we got to go down in the winner's circle and stand there like we were important. It was the coolest thing.
You know, I've only ever gotten to do that once, and that was at Penn National, which is not quite as cool as Keeneland, for sure. Definitely wouldn't put that on my bucket list. So Keeneland, you know, and for those that haven't been to Keeneland, it is a special place.
Yeah.
First of all, it's absolutely drop-dead gorgeous in the old English. Talk about royal weddings. It's the old English sense. It's the old, it's just stately and cool
it's
to
pristine.
Be there. Yeah.
It's only open, I think,
two months of the year.
Is it 2 months?
2 months. There's two separate
meats. Do the meat in the spring and then the meat
this
in the fall.
This is the last day, actually, of the meat right today, right?
Today is the last day. And this is usually the day we go, but since Jack had a horse running. So I might have placed a wager on Jack's horse.
And?
Well, obviously I won.
Was that the $11?
No. I might have placed a larger wager on
Jack's horse. And?
I made money.
How much?
I made money.
Okay, come on, cough it up. Or his husband listening and you're worried.
It doesn't matter. Husband doesn't care. He's listening.
So how much did you wager?
I walked into Keeneland with $50.
Boy, you're avoiding this with like the plague.
No, I walked into Keeneland with $50.
Okay.
And I placed a lot of bets.
Are you buying lunch today? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Oh.
Listen, I placed a lot of bets, and I won my first bet, and then, of course, that sets you up. You're like, oh, I'm a gambler now. So then you start throwing down more cash, because I won the first bet, never win the first bet, because I just thought I was hot stuff. So I'm placing all these bets, lose. I mean, to the point, Glenn, where I picked two horses, and I'm like, I'm just going to bet them both to win, because I like them both. They came in 12th and 13th out of 13. Okay, I mean, to the point, I just got my butt kicked. However, then I placed the bet on Jack's horse, and I said, you know, I've got $20 left.
I've never bet $20 to win.
I know, me neither. I mean, of course, people are betting thousands.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't even know what the odds are on this horse. So I take my $20, and I'm like, smack, $20 to win on Leoness. Put the $20 down, we go out and win the race. I'm like, holy cow, I have won big. Guess what the odds were on the horse?
2-1.
1-1.
What? You won 20 cents. You won a dollar.
I seriously ended up out of the entire day after winning my first race and winning my big $20 bet. I walked into Keeneland with $50 and I walked out with $52.
Well, that's good. That's a good day.
I didn't lose, and I did buy a beer, so I kind of put that into the whole cash thing too. So really, probably after spending $5 on a beer, I made $7 yesterday at Keeneland with all my betting. I came home and I had all the tickets in my pocket. I'm like, oh, this is loser, loser, loser. I was like, you know how people throw money in the air and they're like, oh, this money, I'm losing tickets. I was throwing them in the air and rolling around in them on the bed. That's how bad of a day it was, but 1-1, I made.
So does that mean you're not buying lunch today?
Glenn, I'm going to have to borrow something money from you, okay? Because then I bought a T-shirt. Yeah. So, yeah, it was not the most profitable day. But you know what? I could have walked out of there with a big fat goose egg, a big zero. So, but bucket list was done. I am in a winner's circle photo, and I'm pretty sure that hopefully they won't cut me out because I was on the very end. The very, like, hello.
The photographer will be like, who's this girl?
Yeah, they're going to be the people that are actually like, own the horse and are part of it. They're going to be like, who's that girl in the end? Like, did she sneak in?
Yeah.
I'm like waving, hi. So, big day yesterday.
Boy, you
it
got to
awesome.
Be in the winner's circle. You got to interview Jimmy Wofford this morning. You're just having the day.
I told my husband that I said, aside from the day that I met you and the day that I married you, this has been one of the coolest days. Besides those two, obviously, this has been one of the coolest days because it was just, it's horsey filled, and I'm in the bluegrass, and I did actually grab a handful and clip it and put it in a Ziploc baggie to take home.
Did you really?
Yeah, sure.
You lived here.
I know, but I live in the desert now, Glenn. We don't know what that green stuff is.
I don't
is.
Think you can plant it. I don't think that'll work that way.
I'm gonna dig a little hole. I'm gonna put it in there, and I'm gonna cover it up, and then we're gonna have a Kentucky grass tree.
Before we get to our next guest, who is our Amy blogger of the day, sponsored by Eco Gold, I have to talk. Jamie had a wonderful day yesterday, except for one little missed opportunity because she's a what?
Oh God! Oh God! Why is it? Why you got to bring that up after I just told how great my
day
was?
Because I thought it would be fun to bring it up right after you told how great you were. That's what co-hosts do. I'm a good friend.
I might have choked.
You choked? You tell everybody who you were standing beside and why you didn't talk to him.
Oh, see, what happened was I left the indoor arena. We had just gotten done with the show. I hooked up with Reese. We were hanging out. And then I'm like, I'm going to go up to the dressage ring. So I leave here, and I start walking up, and I notice that there is a man in riding pants and boots behind me. And I'm like, oh, it must be a rider. I couldn't really see it, so I'm slowing down a little bit. I get some out of my bag, and as I start to walk again, he is right behind me, like seriously about 8 inches behind me, and I'm walking. I'm like, oh, my God. 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 What am I going to say? What am I going to say? It was Boyd Martin. Boyd freaking Martin. It's like 8 inches from me.
Okay, we awarded him. You've talked to him before.
Yes.
He got the best of breeches in our award contest. Yes,
I did. I interviewed him. He was in an indoor arena. Helena was too scared to talk to him, so I had to do the whole interview by myself, and I tell Boyd Martin that you got best in breeches, okay? A little embarrassing, okay? But our listeners chose Boyd, so we went with Boyd, and I had to be the one to tell him. And when I booked the interview with him, I didn't tell him what award he won. I was like, you've won an award. We'd like to present it to you. And he's like, great. No problem. Give me a call. So I call him. That's my accent. That's Boyd's accent, by the way. It's pretty good. So I call him, and I have to tell him while he's in the middle of teaching clinic that not only has he won an award, it's the most subjective award ever. You look the hottest in your breeches.
By the way, guys like subjective. We like to be subjectified. We're not like women that way.
Oh, well.
Is that a word?
I think it's objectified.
Oh,
whatever.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. I understand what you're
saying. Can I go with subjectified? It sounds so
you
cool.
You like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm walking right next to him. I'm like, okay, what am I going to say? I mean, what am I to congratulate him on the award? You know, I mean, he's only like writer of the year or whatever. I wanted to say something about it. So I'm walking along, literally 250 yards. We walk together with him 8 inches
behind. And you freaking didn't say anything to him?
I joked. I couldn't. I was a mess. Holy cow, that entire time. Okay, I can talk to a tree.
And Silva wasn't there just hugging him
just,
and stuff?
He was walking by himself.
Oh, no, that's even worse. I didn't know the by himself part. He's
totally
hardly ever by himself.
Never by himself.
You could have just said, hi, I'm Jamie from the Horse Radio Network. And he would have said, oh, hi, Jamie.
Hi. And then I would have tripped and fallen, or I would have spit on him, or something would have happened where I would have embarrassed myself. And I thought, okay, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? And then as I got through the, I can't say anything. I'm just gonna keep walking. And he smiled at me too as he was walking away. He looked at me and he smiled at me.
Well, you're
kind of hot. Like,
of course he's gonna smile at you.
Seen his wife, whatever. I have nothing. Okay, so he smiled at me and everything.
Oh,
totally choked, couldn't say a word. And thanks for bringing that up after I.
All right, good. I just thought I'd bring you back down to earth before we get to our next guest. So
I need a break.
Becky, you're going to have
to get
right up against the microphone there. We have our next Amy blogger that is stopping by every day, thanks to Patricia at Eco Gold. We have some amateur rider bloggers who are covering the event for Eco Gold and are out here. And I think this is Becky, and I don't have Becky's last name on here.
That's okay. I'm anonymous.
Okay, good. Well, when we met Becky yesterday, she said that we were talking about the fact that one of the bloggers yesterday was a counselor, an attorney, and Becky told us that you have a doctorate in what?
Technically, my doctorate is in English and rhetoric, but I like to tell people I have a PhD and BS.
And we're qualified for that. We should have doctorates in rhetoric.
We missed our calling, Glenn.
BS.
Yeah, but Glenn, you just use subjective instead of objective, which means the agency is all skewed around, and I rescind your honorary doctorate.
Okay, there's an English-like doctor here, so I'm not talking the rest of this
interview.
She thinks
she's so fancy.
No, I don't think so. Thinking is a social construct. I know it.
Construct.
So
yeah.
Now you ride, too, though. You're a rider, too. From what I'm reading here, you haven't been riding forever, though.
Well, I grew up wanting to ride, and then at 9 years old, we moved to a farm in Ohio, and I got a former cutting horse, and I grew up riding that quarter horse bareback because I couldn't lift the big Western saddle, and I rode...
I still can't lift the big
Western saddle. Yeah, neither can I, but the big ones anyway. And so I rode most of my life, but I never had any instruction. And so when I turned 40, I decided that, you know, I'd had kids, and darn it, it was my turn again. And so I got a thoroughbred, and I learned to jump, hunter jumper, did a little dressage. And then about 5 years later, I decided I want to do this eventing stuff. I wanted to do it since I was 9 years old and read a book about Bruce Davidson. And I have to drive 5.5 hours to the nearest event, and so I just sucked it up and started driving.
Where in Ohio?
No, I moved. I am now a Texan by marriage, and I live in West Texas. I teach at Texas Tech University, and if you know anything about West Texas, we're about 3 hours from New Mexico. We're arid, we're flat, we're dry, and there's lots of cowboys.
Yeah, not much English riding over there in West Texas, but, you know... I heard the town of El Paso is beautiful, so.
Well, that's like half a state away. We're west towards New Mexico, not south towards Mexico.
Southwest, whatever. The whole thing is southwest.
Yeah, Texas is its own country.
So tell us a little bit about, you're exactly right, tell us a little bit about what you're doing here for Eco Gold. You know, they're having some amateurs out here blogging about their Rolex experience. So what are you doing?
All right, well, first of all, I've been coming here since I planned my sabbatical around Rolex about 6 years ago, and I fell in love with the place. I fell in love with doing it. Before I got my thoroughbred, I was a fence judge all through graduate school and in Indiana, and so I knew I wanted to do this someday, and so I decided the first time I went 6 years ago, I was going to be a fence judge here and help out because it was like shake and bake. They put on a big Rolex, and I helped. And so I went ahead and fence judged. It was the most amazing thing of my life, other than birthing my children, to see these incredible athletes, both riders and horses, going over these fences that, by all laws of gravity, they shouldn't be able to. And so I decided I was hooked. And so since I have a brother who's conveniently located in Paris, Kentucky, about 30 minutes from the horse park, I decided that it was mandatory for me to visit him once a year at the end of April, every single year. You know, family ties are good. And so I've been doing this for 6 years now, and I blog it because when I take a clinic or anything like that, I blog it because it helps me remember what's going on. And it's a huge learning experience to watch the best riders in the world, every single one of them, go over one single fence. I get to see how they approach it. I get to see when they start walking on. I get to see how they prepare for the fence. And it's incredible. So I've been doing this for 6 years. So when Patricia sent out a note from EcoGold saying, who would like to blog? I said, me. And so yesterday I got to go on a course walk with Hannah Sue Burnett, who's our first rider in dressage today, and I picked her brain. I had a great time on the course walk. And so I think I learned a lot then, too, and my little blog is on EcoGold as of like 11:30 last night. And some of the other things, I sit in some question and answers at the EcoGold tent. I've been listening to all of the, of course, I always listen to the Horse and Debate.
Oh, I got to say that, you know, we found out yesterday that you were a fan, and that's really cool.
That's right. I've been, I teach technical communication and rhetoric at Texas Tech, and I remember the first time you guys did a podcast, and it was when we were with
By the
some
way, the fact
place.
That you're listening to me speak every day bothers me a little because I am not very good at English. I'm a math guy.
You know, that's okay. I let it go.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that because I hope all the other listeners do.
No, you know what? I'm being I'm posturing right now, but honestly, I like to say I talk normal because I know better. But honestly, it doesn't bother me in the least bit. Communication is the most important thing. But what's hilarious...
As long as you chuckle and smile when you listen to us, we're happy.
Oh, are you kidding?
See,
but I do skip forward to, you know, get it past you. But.
A lot of people
kidding.
Do that. That's common. That's a common thing. Where can people find the blog? What's the address?
Okay, this year's blog is rolexreport11.blogspot.com. And
okay.
That's RolexReport11, all one chunk, .blogspot.com.
But you can get links to any of that on ecogold.blogspot.com.
Well, actually, that's my own little version of the blog. And then EcoGold is ecogold.blogspot.com.
Right.
And
okay.
So that'll be all the Amies, not Amies.
Is it Amies? Is that
good
how
Lord,
we're saying it?
She is picking you to death.
Well, amateur.
Okay,
Amies.
Bye, Becky.
Oh, you know, I'm teaching.
She's educating.
And I don't learn very well, so there.
I'm learning
you. I booked you a lesson with her later on this evening.
Oh, you guys get to go a riding lesson with Reese, and I get an elocution lesson.
Yes.
As it should be.
I know.
I just used a big word. Did I use it right?
Elocution. You're close to getting your honorary doctorate restored.
Oh, there we go.
Well, we appreciate you stopping by. Everybody check out the blog. Go to EcoGold. We appreciate them.
Yeah, thanks to Patricia for doing this.
Awesome. Can I just put in a plug?
Yeah.
We have a Texas rider this year for the first, you know, one of the first times. I mean, we used to have one with Will. But Heather Morris is here for the first time.
Oh, yeah,
from Team Express.
Yeah.
And she's in seventh place right now. She had a fabulous ride yesterday, and so I just wanted to put in a plug for all Texas and especially for Heather Morris. We're going to be watching her and cheering for her.
Yeah, because Texas is not known for eventers. They're more
known
for the cowboy hats that are going to be coming up here later and a little bit on the show. So.
And then an interesting thing is I also I'm the faculty liaison for the polo team at Texas Tech University. 3 years ago, the polo team won the national polo title. And so you never think a bunch of cowboys from Texas could beat the big guys from Harvard and Yale, but by God, we did.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you very much, Becky. We appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you.
And thank you to EcoGold as well.
We'll see her 100 more times because we just keep bumping into her.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we do just keep bumping into you all weekend.
Yeah. Well, before I have it on I just got a phone call, Glenn, that the Point Two guys are coming down.
Oh, no.
They're on their
They're not
going
to blow us up again, are they?
You know, I was hoping not. So once was enough for me, being blown up by once. But Craig is on his way down, so
okay.
They would be here in just a minute. But to tell you about our sponsor today, thank you so much to Pocket Stable. They are the only iPhone app that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all of their information, including vaccines, dewormings, farrier visits, dentist visits. You can keep them all together and easily accessible. You know, I've got Pocket Stable on my iPhone. I use it all the time. When did Jet get his shoes done? When is he due? Okay, did they get their spring shots? Did he get the West Nile? You know, any of that kind of stuff you can track on your iPhone. It goes through every vaccine possible, and you can select that. Put it in your iPhone. It's only $3.99. It is so easy. You can track weight. You can get reminders of important horsey events. So find Pocket Stable in the App Store, or just go to the App Store on your iPhone. Or, of course, you can visit them at pocketstable.com and send them your emails. Yes, I know you're going to say, I want that for the Droid. They're working on it, people. They're working on it for Blackberries and Droids and whatever. But pocketstable.com is the way to go. Now, are you done talking smack about me? Sheesh. Having a great day just because I happened to ignore
Boyd. Hey, I got Jimmy Wofford here this morning.
That was
what
really
do you
awesome.
Want? And we are expecting, actually, the .2 guys, and that's, of course, the .2 air vests. Jamie and I were blown up at the Ada show in the .2 air vests that caught us a little off guard. That was the only time you've heard both of us scream on the air at the same time. But we're also expecting, and I'm hoping this happens, that I had conversed with Tom McCutcheon, of course, probably the top rainer in the world, is supposed to stop by, and I told him to bring his wife along and whoever else he could drag down. And I know they were trying to get Lyle Lovett to come down. So
that's just so cool that Lyle Lovett is here reigning.
Here reigning. And he's riding the horse, actually, that this is an incredible-looking horse. It was a horse that was used in the World Equestrian Games by an Italian rider. And this horse has the most beautiful flowing mane that you've ever seen. I'm not even sure what kind of horse it is, but it is absolutely one of the most beautiful horses you've ever seen. So we're hoping to see some cowboy hats walk up here soon. And Jennifer and I are definitely going over to the reining tonight. I know you were so looking forward to that, Jamie.
Well, I'm thinking reining may have to happen tomorrow night because it's the freestyle, and I think it's going to be cool.
Freestyle is cool.
Yeah, I love the fact that the reiners chose to come to Rolex. It's like the meeting of two worlds, and I really think it shows a lot of respect to the sport of eventing that the reiners come, and vice versa that Rolex has the reiners here because, you know, like the guests we were talking to yesterday, just how amazingly difficult it is and what an actual tough sport reining can be. Granted, you know, in my world, it's nowhere near eventing, but because I'm an inventor. But, I mean, Jimmy Wofford said it best. This sport is, you know, you just never know with horses. You just never know. And so many of these riders are so absolutely perfect and detail-oriented. There he is. There's Craig. By the way, Craig from .2 might have informed me, Glenn, that they were wicked hungover this morning.
He might have informed
he
you
did.
That.
He's like, we're totally lost. We don't know where we are. We don't even know what day it is.
It looks like Lee is along as well.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
You going to take a picture now? Okay. Come on over. But, yeah, what a phenomenal day. What time does dressage start today?
10 o'clock. It should be starting very shortly, and it'll probably go to about 2 today. There's the riders that you're really looking for today are, well, Hannah Supernett's the first one up. We had her on the show yesterday, the only Kentucky girl. Rebecca Howard, Karen O'Connor, Oliver Townend's up today. I saw the Oliver Townend crowd walking around yesterday, and that was a lot of fun. And, Jamie, I'm going to let you take this. I think that, actually, I'm getting a call from the reiners. So if you could take this for a second, I'm going to try and talk to the reiners here quick.
So Lyle Lovett calls him, and he takes that instead of you guys. What the heck? I mean, come on. So you guys are hungover? Is that what I understand, Craig?
A little bit. Lee was we're showing Lee the sights of downtown Lexington last night. You know.
Lee, how was it?
Yeah, it was very good. Very good.
Get really close to that.
Okay.
So Craig and Lee from .2, last time you guys saw us, you blew me up, and it was a very popular video. And even my mother loved it. She was like, "That was great. You got to get one of those." What were the sights of downtown Lexington that you visited, Lee?
Wow. What was the bar we went to, Craig?
A bar that was up in the sky somewhere, so I'm not quite sure.
We don't remember a great deal of it, but it was a good night.
That's
a couple of Irish bars.
That's Rolex for you, though.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You can be here all day outside enjoying the beautiful sunshine and then enjoy the, you know, the views from the... the indoor too.
It was a good night.
So, who were you guys with? Can you drop any names or? Come on. I saw you walking around with Boyd Martin yesterday. I saw that.
No, I couldn't talk to him.
You could.
Boyd was tucked up in bed early. You know. definitely no riders.
They were having an early night.
Oh, it was
Clayton
just,
was out
just,
of us last night, but he had an early night as well.
Yeah.
I won't drop him in it.
So tell us about this contest. You guys are doing everything in the world to give these suckers away.
Well, but if you go on the event...
I saw him trying to sell a couple, though, yesterday.
Yeah, no, it was a good day yesterday. If you go on the Eventing Nation site... Basically, what you've got to do is guess the nearest time in a cross country for the winner, and you've got to have a guess to see how many in the top 10 will be wearing a .2 jacket.
Okay, so go on there, and you actually have to, when you go to eventingnation.com, I believe they give you an email address to submit your guess to. So guess the winner's cross country time, and then the tiebreaker is how many... Or is that a separate contest?
No, that's correct. You got it right.
Okay, the tiebreaker is how many riders are wearing a .2 vest. And just go ahead and write that down over here. Just go ahead and write down how many riders are wearing the vest.
How many riders?
Yeah.
I haven't...
We don't know that. We
don't know. At badminton last week, we had 90%. So
Jamie's trying to cheat again, is what it comes down to. He's trying to cheat again, is what it comes down to.
90%.
The first year, in 2009, we had 22 riders. Last year, we had probably about half the competition, and pleased to see this year growing even more. We had 90% of them.
And that's what they had, 83-something riders?
Yeah.
So, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was good. Ollie was trying the... He was the first person to wear the new hybrid. He wanted to try the new hybrid. I didn't expect him to use it straight away, though.
Yeah. They got to test it out. I mean, I'm sure he did that for science.
Yeah, he works hard for us. He's getting a few canisters.
So, for those who don't know, the .2 air vest, if you've been, you know, in a hole for a while, it's a vest that attaches to your saddle, and if you fall off, it's like an airbag. I mean, it's an air jacket, and it's an incredible product. Do you guys ever imagine that 90% of Rolex riders would be wearing your product?
It's phenomenal how quickly it's grown.
Well, and that's because it works. It wouldn't have grown if it doesn't work.
Exactly. It's the riders that have done all this, because this is how we first started. We gave it to 10 riders to check it out, and quickly, they had some falls in it, and these guys all talked to each other, and it just went. You know, we started off three years ago, 2009, and then to come over here to see what Craig's done over here, most of the riders over here now at this level will be wearing the .2 jacket. But what's interesting at home, we would probably 50% of our customers will be leisure riders. They never jump. Some people think it's just for the top event riders. Of course, it's going to help them massively, but anyone that gets on a horse, this is suitable for.
Oh, without a doubt. I think, obviously, at this level of competition, your falls are maybe more dramatic, but people fall off in their backyard. And to have this kind of product to just the peace of mind that you get.
Statistically, the studies they've done at home, 75% of all accidents are at home, not in competition. But when you go to competition, quite rightly, you're made to wear the right hat, the right body protector. But at home, quite a lot of the time, people aren't wearing the right protection. But
right.
It's you're more likely to have an accident at home. So because these are so comfortable, you don't know you've got it on. It's like wearing a normal vest. So that's why they're so popular for leisure riding.
Gotcha. Craig, do you know how many riders at badminton?
She's trying to cheat on this competition.
No. It's a total question.
Trying to get the lowdown on it.
Okay, I'll rephrase. how many riders at badminton hopped off their horses still attached? Because that was a big problem at first. You said that watching the finish line, all these guys would dismount.
Oh, it used to be hilarious.
And then, boom, they forgot to detach.
I don't know exactly. I did see one girl that did there. I'm not quite sure. She was a young girl, and I think that she went very well. It was her first bat.
She was so excited.
She jumped off. She was pretty excited at the end. But
it's the first year we brought them out, I was going to the horse trials, and all you heard down at the start before they went is the jackets popping off. But now you very rarely hear it. People, it's in their mind. It's just a normal. People have got used to it. But when we the first year, they were popping all the time. It's great for business.
Because obviously these things are very reusable. They inflate, then they deflate. The air immediately almost starts deflating out of it, and then you just buy a new canister, $20, $25 for a new canister, and it's reusable. This thing will last you forever. So it is a huge product. It's definitely one of the best investments you can make.
Well, and you know, you guys,
on a horse.
You know, people invent stuff all the time, and most of the time it's silly stuff that we use, or, you know, you guys get the pleasure of watching your invention save people's lives. That's special.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's really nice when we get a lot of people writing into us, thanking us. You know, they've had some pretty bad accidents and they've walked away, and they're fairly convinced they wouldn't have been in that case if they didn't have the jacket on. So it is nice when you get these letters coming to us.
Well, and you make kids sizes or yet? Or
we have a kids one now.
You do?
Yeah, we have a kids one, and now we have the new hybrid. So we do them all sizes, down from kids to
adults. Now, what's the hybrid?
The hybrid is the new jacket that I was telling you Ollie tried out for the first time. It was it's a foam body protector and an airbag built into one. So you've got the best of both worlds.
So it's almost like just the regular vest that we have to wear, be
exactly.
It, you know, Charles Owen or Tipperary, that and the
airbag built into it. To look at, it looks like a normal body protector. We put it in a test house in Satra, the level 3, and they've never had results go through their test house like it. We've actually put it through a level 4, and level 4 doesn't exist. You couldn't get foam to not that you could wear anyway. And we still haven't set the sensors off. So we're going to go to level 5, which is unheard of.
Wow. And obviously that's important because the vests are taking off, but you still have to wear your body protector in the competition, the sport of eventing.
And you should.
For competition, you must...
protector protects from things like getting stepped on and things like that, too.
Airbag will do the same. It's very good results for a narrow bar or if you got stepped on. But you could never, ever rule out... If someone didn't clip themselves in something went wrong and the jacket didn't go off, you've got no backup.
Got that extra protection.
So this is why you must wear a foam body protector when you're going cross country as well as the airbag.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Even though it's approved to be worn on its own, but in competition where it states you must wear a foam body protector, you must wear the two together.
Well, I got to say that we're hoping that we don't see your product used tomorrow. That
your
product, we hope it doesn't get used.
Craig,
and
before we let them go, talk about your footing company real quick. Give the website because we've been reading.
We didn't even know about this.
Yeah.
You were hiding this.
So it's Wordley Martin Premium Services. The website is wordleymartin.com. Myself and my business partner, Sean Wordley, we started this footing company about 5 years ago. We've built a lot of arenas for some of the best people in the business. So, go to the website, check us out.
Yeah, if you need it. It's like the footing down there in show jumping and the dressage. It's really fantastic product. I mean, you guys don't do anything half-assed.
Impressive. We've built arenas for Philip Dudden, Will Coleman, Skylar Riley, Kevin Bamington, Max Amaya, Brian Gattel, some of the best people in the business.
Tell us a name we know.
Yeah, no, I never heard of
anyone.
Yeah,
we never heard of
anyone. You guys are too hungover to
get
to
like yeah. Six,
okay?
Lighten up here, guys. This is a morning show.
Craig and Lee from Point 2, WordleyMartin.com.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys. We appreciate you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
And
we'll
thank you for sponsoring the Eventing Radio Show. We really appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, thanks a lot.
Good job, this wasn't a TV interview, wasn't it?
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We have our next guest coming up here. And Jennifer, I got this, I think. So we're going to try. Our technology, our internet connection's been a little crappy, but we're going to try this. And I don't know that I'm going to be able to even play the commercial, Jennifer, the way it looks. I had the switchboard up, but it's not. Let me just see one second here. Let me try it. There we go.
And obviously, you're working on your computer right now.
Equisit possesses a genuine commitment to horses and riders, which drives them to seek new and better ways to help them perform, recover, be comfortable, and succeed at all levels. Equifit continues to raise expectations by pairing innovative designs with highly advanced materials. The Equifit R&D team is always on the lookout for ways to deliver the most competitive and sound solutions. From their superior horse boots to pressure-free half pads to the remarkable line of AgSilver products, Equifit has raised the bar for horse products that produce results. And one of those event riders who knows all about that is Boyd Martin. Boyd, you've been sponsored by Equifit now for some months.
Yes, Chris, I'm very, very fortunate and lucky to be part of the Equifit team, and I can tell you one thing, they've got a huge range of fantastic products, and it really, really does have a huge impact on my riding.
Well, let's talk about some of those products, Boyd. First of all, the T-boot, that open front boot, you use that, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. The show jumping boots are fantastic stuff from Equifit. They're very, very light. They're very, very firm around the horse's leg. They provide fantastic protection. They've also got these liners which are changeable, so that you can put heavier ones in for training or you can put the light ones in for competition. They've got some hind boots, which is the T-boot Excel, for any horses that don't really try hard in their hind end. They put a little bit of pressure around the hind fetlock, and it really, really makes horses fire behind that tendency to have to rails. It's really amazing product.
Well, one of those important things that it does do, of course, is to minimize the dirt and the debris buildup that can cause so much chafing and abrasion, can't it, on a horse's leg?
Absolutely, Chris. It's one of the nightmares I live with is dealing with boot rubs, and I have not had one boot rub after using the Equifit boots, I can tell you one thing, that a tiny little boot rub can haunt you for months with little infections, and it's quite sore. And the wonderful, products and formulas that Equifit come up with the construction of these boots absolutely gets rid of any chance of this irritation from boots that other boots cause.
Well, I'm sure the grooms enjoy them too, because they're easily washable, and you can remove the liner, the T-foam liner, and, that's always a bonus for the grooms when they're cleaning up at the end of each day.
Yeah, they look classy, don't they? And they look new for a long, long time, which is one of the things I really like about them. They're very, very rugged and durable, and look very, very smart with the black and white Equifit sort of logo colours, you could say, Chris.
Yeah, and very easy to use too. And I know one of the other products that you knew, and I think it's how you came to find out about Equifit and your relationship with them, was the use of that shoulders back, which has improved your posture, especially for dressage.
Absolutely, Chris. I was I'm always a bit of a slumper. I've got that Australian physique, which is not very regal, you could say. And what I found out was that having your shoulders slumped over when you ride is actually memory muscle, and it's very hard to change a habit. So the shoulders back was the first Equifit product that I used, and it basically puts your shoulders up and back and in that exactly perfect position for dressage. And then that, you wear it a couple of times, and then all of a sudden your memory muscles, they call it, start reconforming to the correct way of going, so that sooner or later you don't actually need to use the shoulders back. I also, Chris, use it, for some of the riders that work with me that, for cross-country that fall forward on a drop fence. It definitely helps the rider stay with their upper body back behind the motion and staying, in that back seat down bigger drop fences.
Terrific. Well, thank you, Boyd. We're going to be talking about some of the other Equifit products here during Rolex Week. But for now, thank you, Boyd.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
And you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and we have our next guests up here very soon. And, of course, this episode is sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. We have a guy who I met in our coverage and run up to the World Equestrian Games doing the 2010 radio show covering the World Equestrian Games. And, he did pretty well there. And actually, he had two golds walking out of that, I believe. So we have Tom McCutcheon on, and then we have the better half. We have Mandy McCutcheon on, who we have never had on the show before. So, Tom, you're okay to go. We'll just talk to Mandy. No, just kidding, Tom. So welcome, both of you, to Horses in the Morning.
Thanks. Thank Thanks for having us.
It's great to finally be sitting across from you. We're normally doing this on the phone, and you're usually just got off a horse at that moment.
Yeah, or still on one.
Yeah, exactly. So, Tom, obviously you're familiar with the stadium that you're going to be reining in tonight. You've taken a couple golds out of there. This event is new, obviously, the reining in conjunction with Rolex. How important do you think that these crossover events are for the future of the horse world?
Well, I think they're extremely important, and I think I think the reigning competitors understand that, and that's why the best in the world are here. I mean, everybody that was on the gold medal team is here representing the sport, and they've got their own teams this time, so it's a little bit different format. We've all got our own individual teams, and it's also an individual competition, but it's I think everybody realizes the importance of this, so we're here supporting it, and we're going to have a lot of fun with it.
And there's a few dollars on the line tonight.
Yes. There's about $100,000 on the line tonight, so, yeah, we're definitely going to be going for it.
Tom, I don't mean to get in your business here, but Craig from Point 2 is hungover, and he dropped his wallet underneath your seat.
Well,
how much is in there? We can keep that. So Jamie is now crawling under Tom.
Yeah, we got.
This is a morning show.
Anytime.
Mandy, you're very tolerant of other women crawling around underneath your husband.
Excuse me, that was a little bit. I'm underneath a gold medal, crawling all over his wife. Sorry about that. Gosh, Craig.
It's live
hair
radio.
Hair of the dog. Haven't. Start out.
Oh my God.
That was awesome. Sorry about that, sir.
Well, that was good for us too.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Go.
I forgot where you were.
I do think that these crossovers are very important. You know, one of the things we try and do here at the Horse Radio Network is really we're trying to get people listening to things that they wouldn't normally listen to. And that's where the Horses in the Morning show comes in, because we talk about everything. So
I see that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Now, Mandy, you're riding. Now, I noticed that both of you, there's, as it was explained by yesterday, is you guys are broken up. And there's two competitions here. There's a team competition, individual competition. But did you two request to be on the same team, or were you just assigned to the same team?
No, we picked our teams ourselves.
Oh, okay.
So we pretty much made that happen.
We better have picked her. Hello. That would be
I allowed him to be on my team.
Oh, there we go. That's it. You are a very good reiner yourself, though. I mean, we can't understate that.
He brags about you.
You've won a few dollars in your time.
Couple.
Yeah, couple. You know, by the way, you make the eventers sick. Because they, $100,000 competition for them is like a once in a 10-year thing. They don't get it too often. Rolex is $250,000, and that's broken out among. That goes way down the list. So, winning that kind of money is tough when you're an eventer. So they look at you guys down there in one night have a chance to win $100,000, and they may be down there cheering, but they're also very jealous while they're watching tonight. I guarantee you.
Well, it's been a long process for us to get to this point. I've been in this for a long time, and, we didn't always have purses this big. It's been really over the last 10 or 15 years that we've gotten to this point, and it's gotten to the point where the owners and the riders, we kind of expect those kind of purses. So it's a big deal for us to keep and to continue to have those kind of purses. It's... They're obviously the horses are expensive, and it takes a lot to maintain them and to keep them at that level. And like I say, our owners they expect that.
Well, we were just talking about maintenance. You guys are coming back for the Derby because Adequan is flying the team out.
Yes.
And Adequan is, I'm sure you guys have put some money back into that company, huh?
Yes, we do. It's a very important part of what we do because, you know, the maintenance at these events is hard. I mean, we use our horses and we have to take good care of them, and Adequan's a big part of that.
Yeah, they work hard, but you definitely, and that's what I think is, I find the similarities between this sport, reining and eventing, is that, you know, you've got horsemen involved. It's the best of the best. You have to take, for your horse to perform in either one of these sports, you have to take the utmost care of it. You have to know so many different things about fitness and feeding and health care, and it's because these horses really, really perform, and I think that's what I find so impressive about reining and eventing is the people involved with the sport and the amount of knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, between, you know, there's so many people that help us get there, but between, you know, Adequan and Smart Pack and all those people that get us everything that we need to keep our horses at the top level. I mean, and it's a process, you know. I mean, I have a very good crew at home that looks at them and takes good care of them every day and notices, you know, we're gone a lot showing horses, and to have the crew we have at home keeping everybody fit and right and noticing if anything's a little off, I mean, that's all really important.
How many horses will you have at work at any given time?
We have about 60 horses in training right now.
Wow. See, that's a big difference between the eventers who may have 4 or 5, you know. And
I envy them.
Good point. I didn't think about it that way.
You had to spend money to make money, Glenn. You had to spend it to make it.
You know, we had Lisa Coulter down here yesterday, and she's a friend of the network as well. And, you know, Mandy, you and Lisa are one of the – there's not a whole lot of women in reining at your level, is there?
Well, there's a few, but, you know, I don't show in the same classes that Tom and Lisa do at the NRHA shows. I show in the non-pro classes, so
right.
To get to come and do something like this is really fun for me because I don't often get to do the team stuff and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I don't know. There's a few of us out there, I guess.
Because you're still showing as an amateur,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's
yeah.
This is really cool, then, to be
yeah.
able to show on a team with your husband. That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah. And I'm actually, I brought two horses.
I
so
see
I'm
that.
Actually,
I was just
going to
say.
Two teams. I'm on a team with my father as well.
Oh,
you're on the team with Tim?
Yeah.
That would be Tim McKay.
McQuay,
who is here also. And, you know, he's won a few dollars, too, in the reining. Yeah.
He's just fascinated by the money. Can you tell?
Well,
yeah,
that's,
yeah.
You guys, but they actually...
60 horses,
but
Glenn.
You go to his website, you're going to see, is it 3 or 4 now? $3 million or $4 million
No, for me, it's just it's a million and change.
Okay,
a
million and change.
Yep.
Okay. Sean was the $4 million
yep.
guy now, isn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So that's how, but they say that right on their website.
Oh, so they're proud of it.
It is a pride. It's kind of a pride. Well, you win $4 million, you're going to say it's not a pride thing for you?
I'm not telling anybody. That's mine. All of a sudden you have relatives that you didn't know you had. People are calling. It's like, you know.
Tell us about your horses. Our fans will be mad if we don't hear what horses you're riding here.
Well, I am actually borrowing a couple of horses because I didn't have any FEI horses. We didn't have any, so... We're fortunate enough, the same Sarah Williman that owns Gunner Special Night, and actually the mare Tom is showing, owns the mare I'm showing as well. Her name is Chexie Dunnett. She's been an open fraternity finalist and just been a really great mare her whole life. So I've only ridden her this week. And then the horse I'm showing for my dad's team is one that I started riding when we got here 2 days ago.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
I had to find one.
She's my hero.
She calls herself an amateur,
yeah.
You know.
Amateur. Amazing. You know she coaches him.
Yeah.
Never. I always say, good job, honey.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know.
And
you've learned that a long time ago, didn't you?
Yeah. If anybody believes that's what happened.
Just 100% support, honey.
Yep,
yeah.
That's right.
How long
yeah.
have you guys been married?
Oh, 50 years, maybe. I don't know. Seems like a long
Let's
time.
Let's see if he can remember.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Go ahead.
12 years.
He'll never
Ooh,
come on again. Is it 12?
Yep.
He got it right?
Yeah, he did.
You're going to be okay. You don't sleep on the couch tonight or anything.
No.
Watch out. Your wife's around here, too. You're going to get yourself into trouble.
Well,
12 years. That's awesome. And the amount of time you guys spend together, it's just cool to be able to travel and work. And
so great.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh my God! She just rolled her eyes.
Well, guys, good luck tonight. Best of luck for your teams and your individual competition.
I just have to give one thank you to Brad Edelman. He does. He puts all this together for us, and he is a big part. Brad Edelman, the USBF, and the FEI, they're a big part of why we can have all this money and do these events that run together. So we have to give him a big thank you because he makes all this happen for us.
Well, and the sponsors, you got some good names here.
Yeah.
Ariat, Clark Oil, Smart Pack, Purina Mills. I mean, there's a lot of good sponsors for this event tonight.
We get a lot of great support. We're really lucky.
I was very touched yesterday. I was happy as I was walking around just listening to people talking. There were so many of them that said, should we go to the raining? And then we're saying, yeah, we're going to go to the raining. So I think there's a lot of eventers here who didn't even realize it was going to be here and found out and are going, oh, we're going to go.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be a house full tonight, and nothing like the WAG. It won't be quite like that.
Well, it's great, and we're looking forward to it. And hopefully we can make this an annual event. I mean, this would be really – it's a big deal for us, and we love coming out here. We love Lexington. Like we were talking earlier, it's a second home to us. I mean, I've made that flight from Dallas to Lexington more than – more than any other flight. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it, and hopefully we can make it an annual event.
Well, we hope you do, too, because we're going to be out there watching you tonight and over watching the freestyle tomorrow night. And then tomorrow night, too, there's going to be some eventers trying their hand at this. Gina Miles was on with us yesterday. She said the gold medalist is going to be out there trying her hand at a Western saddle.
Yep.
And what's awesome about that is the cues are so different. I mean, I was saying yesterday, how many times have I been yelled at, sit up when you're halting? Not quite like that, right? I mean,
it's
so.
A little different. It's a little different. I have a lot of, I did the show jumping for a long time.
Oh,
so I have a lot of friends that do that, and they're kind of wanting to get into the Rainers and stuff, and I think they think they're going to be able to just get on and do it, and they're really surprised at how technical it really is.
Yeah.
And Lisa indicated yesterday, we always thought it was a sliding stop that would give them trouble because it's just a different seat than they're used to in the dressage we're watching over there. But it's the spins that get people,
that
apparently.
Yeah, that happens a lot of times. It gets you tipped forward a little.
Yeah,
the spins make you dizzy.
They make you dizzy, that's a big thing.
And the horse is dizzy, too. So, it's a definite training process getting those horses to do that, and it's admirable. And I'm excited for you guys tonight. Good luck.
Give your website again. Your website.
TMcCutcheon.com.
TMcCutcheon.com.
You
can go see
M. McCutcheon?
Yeah, no M. McCutcheon. It's only T. It's all about the T. McCutcheon.
Well, thank you, guys. We appreciate you stopping by.
12 years.
Hopefully, hopefully 13.
Thank you.
We'll be rooting for you tonight.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Look
guys.
Forward to it.
Good luck. What a day. This
has
been, legend after legend after, just awesome guests and people. And it's Kentucky, and the dressage has kicked off. Did you see that chestnut horse that went in? Looked a little tense.
I know. We're just watching the dressage. Although our TV set's a little fuzzy today. That's not looking good. I don't know what rider this is.
I think they just finished, so.
Ooh,
there's
a little bucking fit going on here.
I wonder if there's a little bit of wind there. Like Jimmy said, it's a very, like Jimmy said, like we're friends. Like Mr. Wofford said, it's a little bit of a spooky arena to have the dressage in there, and then you got all that open space because it's smack in the middle of it, and the tents, and for most horses that compete at horse trials, pretty much there's nobody watching. There's nothing to distract the horse. It's just you go in, you see the judge, you ring the bell, and you go in and do the test. So definitely a challenging arena.
It definitely is, and when we were sitting over there yesterday, I was surprised at how windy it was. It was in that arena because the wind was coming from the direction of the open side that it would just whip through the arena there.
Yeah, yesterday was windy, but maybe good for the cross-country course simply because it helped dry it out a little bit. They are pumping water. They have dug trenches. They have done a whole lot of work to get things taken care of. So.
And, of course, it was supposed to be beautiful from yesterday on, and then it rained for a couple hours last night, which just came. I looked at the radar, and it was a little splotch of green right over Lexington.
Yeah. Just spitting on us a little bit, though. Nothing like the epic rain of the past couple days.
That's for sure. And we did want to say on Facebook, there's a comment there for you. Did you see it?
This is so cool. Sumiko is my Sumiko is a Facebook follower, and she's kind of my horse racing cohort, I guess. And Tomiko actually went on the Blood Horse and found the race that Jack's horse was in and won, so I wasn't lying. Now I'm going to have to find, and Tomiko, maybe you can do this, find the winner's circle photo. And let me know where I can
Jamie,
find
want
that.
If Jamie wants a copy, please post it on Facebook.
Gosh, that's going to be a poster in my house. Chad's going to be like, what is this picture of you standing in the corner? Just don't worry about it. So, yeah, very, very cool that she posted that. So you can see that on Facebook, too. Glenn, you can see I wasn't actually lying.
So, you know, when you think about today, we had the eventing legend on. Jimmy Wofford was on. And then we had a two-time gold medalist from the World Equestrian Games, one of the top reiners in the world, on with us today. And then we had our good friend Reese Koffler Stanfield, who is going to be one of the top dressage riders in the world, already Grand Prix level. And we should mention that she's invited you and Jennifer to come over Sunday night for a dressage lesson on her dressage pony.
I get to take a Grand Prix dressage riding lesson. Now, the problem is that I don't know what the bill is going to look like at the end of this lesson. I'd love to take a dressage lesson, and then I think that might have to go to the Horse Radio Network. It's a company bill. Your wife's doing it, too.
I think this is complimentary, actually.
No.
Yeah, it is.
Well, so anyway, Therese is great.
She's even cooking for us. You know, she does the recipes. Apparently, there's going to be some food over there. She said she can't promise gourmet meals like she's talking about because it's kind of Rolex time. But she invited us over for dinner, too. So
yeah,
that'll be
cool.
A lot of fun.
Fun weekend, and we appreciate you guys listening to us just ramble on and gush a little bit. And if you aren't here, I certainly hope that you guys come next year and come and hang out with us here at the booth, because hopefully we'll be broadcasting again. So, you know. It's an awesome, awesome weekend ahead of us.
Yes, it is. And join us tonight at 4 o'clock for the Eventing Radio Show Live with Chris Stafford. I know that Mark Todd is walking over tonight to visit with Chris, so you'll want to tune in then. We'll be back. Please remember that we'll be back tomorrow morning and Sunday morning, and then off Monday and Tuesday. So we're going to be back the next 2 days. I know you're not used to listening to us on the weekend, but please listen this weekend, because we'll have a bunch more guests for you and a whole lot more fun. So thank you, everybody. Have a terrific day. Be safe. And we'll be back again tomorrow. Say goodbye, Jamie.
Goodbye, everybody. I want that gray horse. Look at that gray horse.
I can't get it to work. Just hang up.